But here's what I would do is Facebook and Instagram's paid ads AI system is much smarter than TikTok. So if you load 10 videos into the Facebook ad system, they'll find the winner a lot quicker than TikTok. So what we'll do is we'll say
three viral videos or three best producing higher viewed videos. And we ran ads to those three videos. We started out doing $50 a day. And then we saw that every dollar we spent, we were doing 10. After that, we increased. We went from $50 a day. We're now at $1,250 a day.
All right, today we've got a guy named David Nips. Now, here's the funny story about David. I've worked with David for 2.5 years, and he's done all of our Facebook ads, Google ads, all that stuff for the multiple different companies we have, food companies, the lake, all that stuff. I've never met him in person. Lives in New Jersey, but today I've got David Nips from Nips Media on with us today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you're working with someone and they don't know those things, how do you find them?
It's usually, I'll give you an example. So we're going to talk about a couple of clients we've worked with. One of them is a music school.
Okay.
This can be compared to a gym membership or any recurring membership.
So it's a subscription.
It's a subscription. The parent comes in, they enroll their child in classes, and they pay about $80 a month, give or take.
Okay.
Now, here's how I go about that. When I'm working with a client, I'll say, okay, what is the first month payment? $80. Do you have any setup fees, enrollment fees? No. Okay. It's just $80.
$80.
To how long does the customer spend with you on average? Oftentimes, the answer I'll get is, I don't know, or they'll just make up a number. I don't want to deal with made up numbers because people will typically go higher than what it truly is, human nature. So what I'll say is, okay, what is your CRM? What's your payment processor? What data do we have access to? Usually they'll have something. So in this case, they have their data manager that manages all of their classes, their cash flow, all of that. Can you print me a report, all of your customers who have spent money and what they've spent? Just print me that report.
Yeah.
So let's say we get
pretty easy.
It's simple. Anybody can do it with just a little bit of effort. Let's say for math's sake, it's $100,000 and you have 10 people. Okay. The average customer lifetime value is $10,000, right? But that's also not factoring that that's going to be going up every month because people are staying with you because they're not leaving.
Right.
That's an easy way of getting that. So when I'm dealing with a music school, we found on average, a student sticks around for about 2.5 years if they come in before the student turns 3. Because if you're 4 to 5 years old, you're getting close to preschool, kindergarten. Even though you can stay in music classes, more distractions for the parent, more opportunities, you'll cancel quicker than if you come in as a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old, the likelihood of you sticking around 2.5 years is longer. Yeah, this is the granular data that you need to have.
Let me go back to it. I got lost in the fact that you said a 2- and a 3-year-old is going to music classes.
So these are classes for babies, early development. So they're not sitting there playing playing the piano. They're clicking things together, okay, or patting on the board. The earlier you start your child in music classes, the more likely they're going to be advanced in later years in life.
It's just like baseball or football or volleyball. Like Tegan was throwing a football at 1 or 2 years old. John was hitting a volleyball at 1 or 2 years old. That's what they do.
Yep.
It's all the same.
All the same.
Huh.
But you have to understand these numbers. So when I went to her, but this is the kicker when you're a small business. So if you're a Fortune 500 company and you have capital coming out of your ears, you can take time to get your LTV back. Mm-hmm. Let's say it takes you 6 months to get your cash back. Well, if you're getting outside funding, you can make that happen.
Yeah.
But if you're a small business in New York who's doing $250,000 a year and you're trying to eat and put food on your table off of that, you can't do that. So what you have to look at is almost anybody can get a revolving line of credit for 30 days. You put your ads on a credit card, pay it back in 30 days, pay no interest. Like that's how I think about it. So my head is, how can we get your cash back within 30 days? And then it turns into this infinite money opportunity.
Correct.
So I'll put it into an example. It costs, let's say in this example, it costs $40 to generate a new customer inside of this music school.
Okay.
They make 80, but cost of goods, paying the teacher, paying for fees, all of that is about $40. So they make back there. They don't make any, they're not in the black, but they're even on month one.
That's great.
Month two and ongoing is all profit.
Mm.
And they can start stacking that. But let's say we brought in a customer for $60. It cost them 40. They're losing $20. Most businesses cannot sustain that at scale.
Really?
They can't. That's how it works. So you always have to think, okay, and there's two options. Can I bring the customer acquisition cost down, or can I get more money on the front end?
How do you bring the customer acquisition cost down?
Better ads.
Mm.
Better sales process.
Better targeting.
Texting people quicker and following up faster.
Sure.
Things of that nature. Or you get them to spend more money, where it might be, hey, for every student that comes in, how do you typically approach it? Well, you put them right into a monthly. Well, what if you prompted them and said, well, you can save 10% if you pay for the year? And
they get a large chunk.
20% of people take you up on that offer. That 20%, 1 out of 5, might put you in the range of being able to stay in profit, even for the monthly ones that you're losing money on, the annual ones bring the cash back.
Bring the cash back.
So you're constantly paying off that line of credit and moving forward.
So how old are you?
29.
29 years old. You've been doing this, I mean, since you got out of college, right?
It's sophomore year of college I started.
Sophomore year of college you started this. So married, wife works too. What's the best investment you made in your 20s?
This business.
Really?
By far.
How so?
When you are in a... So I'm in a digital business.
Uh-huh.
There's very little startup costs and there's very little cost of goods sold.
Okay.
My cost of goods sold is knowledge.
Your brain.
Knowledge is free.
Yeah.
To get.
Sure.
So anybody can go on YouTube, buy very inexpensive courses, find mentors who are you can work for very inexpensively. Yeah. If you can find, and it doesn't have to be digital marketing, but if you can find a business that you can take your knowledge and sell a high ticket service, that will be a better investment than anything else that you do.
If you were talking to someone that was graduated from high school and they looked at you and they said, how do I make the most of my 20s? What would you tell them?
So here's my business, but also non-business question. Stay away from alcohol.
Okay.
I've had one sip of alcohol in my entire life, and that was 10 years ago, because that will give you a competitive advantage over everybody else in their 20s.
No question.
When you're learning. Yep. No alcohol, no drugs, no smoking. Stay away from all of that.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to find a great partner young. I did that. I met my wife in college, first day, freshman orientation, met her. That did not slow me down one bit from building the business that I have now.
Mm.
In fact, it pushed me.
Yeah.
Because when you have somebody who is looking to build a life together, and it's a massive competitive advantage, one, and also it keeps you distraction free. And number three is watch the ego. Because when I was young, I wanted to look more successful than I was. And that burned me a couple times. Because I wouldn't take advice from people who were far better off, because I wanted to be the one who always knew and had the answer.
Yeah.
This is early 20s. It took me a while to realize you have to watch the ego and you have to stay on top of it at all times, especially when you're in business.
So from 18, well, I guess 19 to 20, so 10 years now, you've been on a pretty good steady run. Over the last 10 years, what's the most painful mistake you've made in business?
Choosing the wrong business partner.
How did that affect you? Without being like...
Sure. Without going there.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not even fully the partner's fault. It was, I didn't trust myself to make decisions for myself.
You leaned so heavily on him and just kind of like, what do I do?
Correct.
Instead of using your brain.
Instead of using my brain. And that creates two problems. Number one is you're not a great partner to the person you're working with.
Right.
And also vice versa is you're not, everybody operates differently.
Sure.
You were just saying it. You and I are complete opposites in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
But we're both in business.
Yeah.
And we have our way of doing things. Okay. You do things your way. I do things my way. But we operate differently, right? If I came in and we were working together and I just followed your lead all the time, then I would be out of character for myself. Sure. And out of my norm, and then vice versa for you, for me. And I'm learning that I have to create great relationships with people and be able to lean on that and take advice. And by the way, when you take advice, actually incorporate it, especially when you're talking to somebody more successful than you.
Yeah.
But you also have to learn to be fearless in business. And I operated in fear and didn't even realize it until about a year ago. I mean, I was 8-9 years of operating in just complete fear all the time.
What do you mean operating in complete fear? Like you were going to screw it up?
Yeah, I'm going to screw it up. And I'm very public with what I do. I post on social media. My identity is built in business. Family and friends, what is David about? He's marketing, he's business, he's entrepreneurship.
Yeah, sure.
I fail, that's my head. That's a lot of ego talking.
Yeah.
But because I was worried about failing, I wouldn't take those big leaps that I needed to. And so I would constantly be on that edge of going back and forth.
That makes sense. What's the difference in a $100,000 brand and a $10 million brand?
Yeah, great question. So I'll actually go three layers.
Okay.
I'll give you the $100,000. I'll give you the couple million dollar brand.
Okay.
And I'll give you the $100 million brand.
Right.
I'll start with the small one. The first one is an unproven offer and unscalable offer. That's typically the name of the game. We were just talking about that. We were talking right before recording about how I work with a bee farm.
Bee farm, yeah.
And we sell candle classes, beeswax classes, great business. It earns her some good cash flow and a good revenue. She doesn't have the capacity nor the one to be able to have classes that can take 2,000-3,000 people per year. She's filling 8 classes a couple times a week. She loves it. It's her hobby. Wonderful.
Great.
That's the characteristic there. The next level up, which is a $2 to $3 million brand, they have a small team, but oftentimes what we find is the team doesn't have great leadership. And also you're dealing with a lot of vendors that don't all speak to each other.
Mm.
And that's a big thing. So you have your paid ads agency over here, you have a social agency over here, and you have a foggy vision for where the business is going. And oftentimes when you get to that end, you find that profit margins can start to hurt. Mm. It's a big thing that we noticed, which causes the ability to scale up advertising to struggle.
Correct.
When you're dealing with $100 million businesses, the thing that I start to see is a lot of waste. So you have to be really, really mindful of that, of waste and payroll expense.
Yep.
Of, we see it with clients we work with. You're working with a business and there's somebody, or you're like, what exactly are
they
doing?
Do?
I'm not really sure. Or you get into these big contracts with, and I'm going to speak from a marketing angle, agencies and all these things that you're spending money on that you have no idea what the return is because you're so massive.
I can see that. And I know people in all three of those sectors for sure. If you had to bet on one marketing practice over the next 5 years, what would it be?
One marketing practice for me, paid advertising. Let me explain to you why.
Yeah.
So, couple things. I'll give you a really good example of a client we work with. So she came to us. She was actually a referral from you, and she sells products for sourdough lovers. And it's a $25 to $30 product. And she has a couple of order bumps, but she has one main product.
Okay.
The biggest thing that she was struggling with was instability in her business because she relied solely on organic traffic.
Right.
So the business would look like this. Video goes viral and sales go up. Having a hard time getting a video to go, sales go down. TikTok might go away. Oh my God, what's going to happen to my business because I don't have this reliance? It creates instability that causes fear of growth. What that looked like for this particular person was, I can't hire anybody because I don't know if I'll have a job for them in 6 months.
Exactly.
That's repetitive. Paid advertising, the number one word that helps me push and sell this to clients, consistency. It's going to be consistent lead flow. It's going to be consistent sales. It's going to be consistent traffic. There's ebbs and flows. Sure. Some campaigns work at times better than others, but you're going to have consistency. And when I can tell you that if you can spend a dollar and you can make $5 back, you're going to want to keep doing that long term.
Keep putting dollars in the machine.
And Facebook and Instagram, if you're a user of the platform, you are not Facebook's customer. Facebook's customer is the business owners. So when you're relying on free traffic, every platform gets to a point where in the beginning, you get lots of free traffic. It's a new platform. There's virality. It's easy. The platform starts to realize there's a lot more demand than there is supply. So they want to sell you advertising. If they were giving you unlimited virality, you would never pay for ads. It's a business.
Yeah. What happens if something happens to Facebook and Instagram?
That attention will go somewhere.
I agree with that.
And you have to just be strategic of where it's going.
I agree with that.
The way that how you can oftentimes figure it out, talk to the young people.
Yeah.
Because platforms grow. So if I'm...
What's the next one? No one will hold you to this. What do you think the next one is?
So TikTok advertising is really cheap right now. When people think of TikTok, they rarely say, you should go and do TikTok advertising. Usually they say, you should go post on TikTok. You should do the TikTok shop. They say those things.
Right.
TikTok advertising actually has a very sophisticated system. But here's what I would do is Facebook and Instagram's paid ads AI system is much smarter than TikTok. So if you load 10 videos into the Facebook ad system, they'll find the winner a lot quicker than TikTok. So what we'll do is we'll say, hey, we have these one or two winners. Let's just take those two and let's put traffic behind them on TikTok advertising.
So what I'm hearing you say is you think that if TikTok doesn't go away, but I don't think TikTok's going away.
I say
the next Facebook, but I've seen article after article after video after video of people making massive amounts of money on TikTok.
Yep.
I got a buddy in Tennessee that he sells, it's the baseball card business, but it's collectibles. That's what they do. Behind what you do, there's a lot of psychology. What's the hidden psychology behind the best marketing campaigns?
The best marketing campaigns help people imagine what life will look like with the thing. So I'll give you an example. I sell marketing services. If I'm coming to you, Thomas, and I'm saying, hey, we want to grow Walcox Point. We want to get more reservations. We want to do this. That's just a feature of what we do.
Right.
Really, what you want is the ability to sleep at night. Not necessarily in your case. I'll give you an example. I want to sleep at night knowing that I'm not worried about making payroll next week.
Sure.
Is what a business owner is thinking about. Or I want to make a little bit more profit so I can take my family to Disney World.
Correct.
Or I want to be able to open up that second and third location and then hire my niece and my nephew and this and that.
Yeah.
There's psychology reasons of why people want anything. If they're buying a sourdough bread bag, it might be because they want to feed their kids healthier because when they were young, they didn't have that ability to do so.
Correct.
There's reasons of why people do things, and it's usually not the item. Figure out the psychological, sometimes even the egotistical reason of why people buy.
Right.
And then lead with that.
Lead with that. Tell me about a company you've helped make a lot of money.
So we were just talking about the example of the sourdough, and I'll give you this is a real life example of how quickly a business can grow when done right. So they came to us in September, and at the time they were doing $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Okay.
With a proven product. Good hobby business, making some money, but inconsistent because they were relying on virality. They had a viral reel 8 months prior that gave them a nice boost. It came back down, and then they were plateaued at this number right here. And they said, we know that there's benefits in this product, but we don't even know how it's going to sell year round.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's just a one and done. We got lucky. I said, okay. And when I'm looking with a business, I want to see that they've at least sold some. Because if you can sell one person, usually you can sell 1,000. So you have to figure that out. The formula that we did is we went to their Instagram and we picked out 3 of the videos that performed well for them in the past. One of them was the video that went viral 8 months prior in that January.
Okay.
I said, okay, let's take that video exactly as it is, go into Facebook ads, pick an audience. In this case, there's a sourdough interest that you can target. People who are interested in sourdough, Facebook will let you just put your ads in front of those people. And it's a massive multi-million person audience.
Okay.
Write new copy that's more persuasive to the product.
Correct.
And to run that as an ad. And now you have to be sophisticated in linking your Shopify with the conversion tracking. Do all the right things. You can Google search.
Yeah.
Run that as an ad. And we found within the first week that for every dollar we were spending, we were making $10 back in top line revenue.
How much did they spend on ads?
In the beginning, we were spending between $50 and $100 a day.
$50 and $100 a day. How much were they making?
So $50 to $100 they were spending. They were making back about $1,000 a day in revenue.
That's
pretty
good.
A good media buyer will help you scale. But you don't go from $100 a day up to $1,000, which right now we're at $1,250 a day.
$1,250
every single day. We are spending that money, about $50 an hour we're spending on ads.
Woo!
But you creep it up. So we go from 100 to 125. Can we maintain at 125? Great. Let's jump to 175. How are we doing ROAS-wise? Okay. And creep it up. And don't be afraid to give up some ROAS, but you need to know what the bare minimum is.
Right.
What's the ROAS where we're...
Return on ad spend.
Return on ad spend. Yes. Thank you. Creep it up. So that has to happen. But also, we paired it with a business owner who was ready to scale. Her whole thing was, I can't make these from my living room couch anymore. I need to hire people. I need to bring people on. So you need to have that ability to scale. That's an example of somebody we worked with. And it sounds super simple. There's psychological things that go behind it, and there's formulas. But that's how quickly a business can go from $6,000 a month up to multiple six figures a month.
Right.
In the matter of 3-4 months.
It took 3.5 minutes to answer that question. You can't cut that in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask it again. Leave all that in there. But I'm going to ask it again, okay? And where you had a lot of fluff there of talking about the psychological, like the head of the company was making $5,000 or $6,000 a month. We went in and we took the 3 videos that had companies making $5,000 or $6,000 a month. Now I cut all this, guys. Had a company making $5,000 or $6,000 a month, but they were living off viral videos. They'd make a bunch and they were at a plateau. They were ready to grow. So what we did is we took 3 viral videos or 3 best producing, higher viewed videos, and we ran ads to those 3 videos. We started out doing $50 a day. I don't even know if the number, whatever's. And then we saw that every dollar we spent, we were doing 10.
Got it.
After that, we increased. So we went from $50 a day, where we're now at $1,250 a day. Now, you can't go from $50 to $1,200, but we increased our revenue from $5,000 or $6,000 a month to...
multiple six figures.
Multiple six figures a month.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I can do the commercial for you.
You can.
But...
I should cut that up.
Yeah. But you need to...
I need to get better at presenting that. Yeah.
The reason I say that is people's attention are so short. And our goal here is to take this, clip this, put this on a short, and let you run an ad to it. No one is going to watch that 3.5 minute ad for this.
Yeah.
They're going to see it's a bread. Okay, so I'm going to ask about the bread. When you get done explaining that, I'm going to say, give me another example of another company. Go into whatever it is. And then I'm going to say, give me another example, and then go to the equine. So you're going to go bread, music school?
Let's go bread, equine, Ebo.
Whatever you say. I don't care. I'm just going to say, give me another example.
Yep, beautiful.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
It does.
So the question is, tell me about a company and how you've helped them.
So I want to give you an example of a company we took from doing $6,000 to $7,000 a month to multiple six figures in 5 months.
Wow.
When they came to us, they were relying on viral reels.
Okay.
They'd have some peak ones.
Make some money,
come back down. They've been down for the last 6 months. When they came to us, simple formula. Take the 3 highest performing reels that made them a lot of money 8 months ago, amplify them. Target their ideal audience using Facebook ads. Start with $100 a day, get their ROAS. We kicked off with 10-to-1 return.
Wow.
Creep the budget up from there. 100 to 200 to 300 to 400.
A day.
A day. All the way up to now, we're spending over $1,000 every single day on ads. And she's happy to pay the bill for those ads every day.
How long have you been working with them?
4 months.
4 months. So we went from $5,000 or $6,000 a month. What are they bringing in a month right now?
Multiple six figures.
So in less than 6 months.
Correct.
That's the crazy part.
Life changed.
Life changing. That's the crazy part about tactical, detailed paid ads.
100%.
Give me another example of another company you've done that with.
So education business came to us. They're in the equine world. Equine world being horse lovers.
Horse it.
They came to us. They have an online course that they sold about $250,000 a year prior on. It was April of this past year, and their sales were down about 35% year over year, declining. When they came to us, the formula that we incorporated for them was simple. More, better, new. Number one is they were fearful. They need to spend more money on ads. Just in the beginning, helping them, push them to spend more money on ads. A lot of that felt therapeutic. back. Number two is better. Take the ads that performed well last year that had gotten fatigued, change the hook, change the content a little bit, just make them a little better and rerun them. Number three, come up with new strategic ideas, but in that order. The mistake that we would have made is if we went to them and said, your sales are declining, let's try something completely different, all new, not needed. You're already making a return. Let's spend more. Let's take those winning ads and just make them a little bit better so we have more longevity in what we're doing.
So an equine, we've worked for the bread company. We've worked for the equine company. Give me another example.
So let me tell you about the music school that came to us.
Okay.
She came to us in October and she had a music school with about 100 students in it with a full capacity to get to 175.
Mm-hmm.
She's running the business, but she's also the employee of the business doing the classes.
Mm.
She's pregnant and having a kid in 6 months. And so she has two options. Number one is lose my salary and hire a teacher when I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Or it's closed the business. She's not filling classes. She doesn't have a big presence. You're not driving down the street and see her school. She's in an office building.
Mm.
So nobody knows about her.
Right.
Facebook ad to a landing page that offers a free music lesson trial. Name, email address, phone number. Somebody fills out that form. Automate the first text with an engaging question. Hey, this is so-and-so from the music school. Saw you were interested. So excited. What's a good day and time for you to come in for your first trial class? Well, yeah. Can't wait to meet you. That three-step formula that literally anybody can do completely changed her business. She's on a waiting list now for her classes.
That's incredible. This is an arrogant question, okay? What type of companies are you arrogantly confident you will get them results with paid ads?
So anything that is a low buyer risk consumer product. I'll give you an example. When we're working and we're selling a bread bag, $25, you can see an ad, click it, and buy it without having to think much about it. It's not a multiple $1,000 product. That's a big one. But also secondly, one that has very psychological benefits on the back end. So when we're selling a bread bag, we can promote the fact that bread is really healthy. You're going to give more longevity to your bread. There's very, very simple benefits that we can outline. But also thirdly, a brand that has the ability to track conversions. So if we can go in and track how many appointments we're getting, how many sales we're getting, not only is that good for my own ego to present reports, of course, but it's also good because when you can feed Facebook data of who buys, it'll go find you more buyers.
And it's proof.
Yeah.
Having proof is great. All right, I'm going to shift gears with you. What's the biggest scam in marketing right now?
People that sell services that don't fulfill on the product because it's easy to get that by you. I'll give you an example.
Uh-huh.
People that sell SEO services, there's some that are incredible at what they do and they will get you to page one or two of Google. They have a process for it.
Right.
There's others that will do some very basic work in the beginning that almost anybody could do themselves and they won't touch your business for 6 months, but they'll continue billing you. Be really, really mindful for things like that that aren't tracked. Also, there's services like Google My Business Optimization. I spoke to somebody just this past week paying $500 a month for Google My Business Optimization for her business, local business, that's doing less than $1 million top line.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just preying on people who don't understand
technology.
Yep.
What's one marketing strategy that people think that works that really doesn't in most cases?
Be really careful of lead magnet campaigns. I'll explain what a lead magnet
is.
When you give something away for free in exchange for somebody's contact information.
Okay.
Paid ads, when I was first getting started, lead magnets were the bread and butter of what we did. Bring somebody in for a free guide, a free ebook, something like that.
Right.
And then upsell them on your product.
Sure.
And it would almost be like magic.
Yeah.
We get their contact information. Now we start selling them. Two things. Number one is people that download lead magnets are typically freebie seekers in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Or at least 95% of them are.
Wow.
So if you're running a campaign like that, either work that in where it's, hey, I'm going to convert 5% of these people and the other 95% aren't.
Right.
Or just don't do them. What I would replace that with, and we're trending our clients to, is low ticket products. So whereas prior, we would run a lead magnet campaign, $50 a day in ad spend. We're getting a $2 cost per lead, 25 leads per day.
Great.
We replaced that with a Tripwire campaign, which is a $7, $27, $47 widget thing people purchase. Same $50 a day. We might get 2 sales per day.
But they got skin in the game.
But they have skin in the game. They're more likely to A, use the thing that they're buying, and B, if they bought from you once, the chance of them buying again is much higher.
Yeah.
That has been an extremely big game changer, whereas I never touched Tripwire products in the past.
Mm.
But now we're pushing most people towards
it. Most people to it. If you had one single marketing service to feed your family over the next 3 years, what would it be?
It'd be Facebook ads.
Facebook ads.
All day.
Just because you know it.
It's because I know it, the consistency of it, and the ability to know that with platforms changing, the TikTok algorithm is different than the YouTube algorithm.
Sure.
The YouTube algorithm is different than the Facebook. Everything's a little bit different. Paid ads is a lot more clear.
Yeah.
You're purchasing ads in a geographic area
right,
based off of people's buying interests. That is more tried and true. So I know that whether Facebook and Instagram are around in 5 to 10 years, or they'll be around, but are they as popular? I don't really care. I'm going to find the platforms that have attention. These platforms need to pay people. They need to grow. How do they do that? They sell advertising. You buy the ads.
You buy them. If your next 5 years were a chapter of a book, what would the chapter be about?
For me, it's leadership and getting much better at it.
Okay.
In my agency now, I've built and what I'm proud to call the Avengers of marketing, where you have me as the media buyer. I have somebody named Hannah who does incredible graphics and videos. I have somebody named Chelsea who does incredible copy. But for me, it's figuring out now, how do I scale this thing? Not just for myself, but we're limited to the number of businesses that we can help. There's a max capacity, and I want to be able to look back when I'm 90 years old and not only see the big impacts we made on select businesses, but the volume of businesses that we've been able to help. The way that I'm structured right now and I have my business, I'm not built for that.
Okay.
And
you've got a ceiling.
I've got a ceiling. And I'm in the position right now of figuring out, A, do I want to grow in that way?
Yep.
Or do I want to remain small and mighty and just bring on bigger and bigger clients? Or do I want to grow a bigger team? But what I don't want to lose is my way of doing it.
Yeah.
When people come to me, it's the David Nipps way of thinking creatively, of coming up with offers, of I care about your business just as much as you care about your business. I don't want to lose that when clients work with us. So for me, it's figuring that out. And I don't have those leadership skills or those hiring skills yet, but that's what I'm looking at over the next 5 years.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
What would you do if you were not afraid?
Two things. Number one is I would spend more money on a lot of our clients' ads because it's scary. You know, when you're talking $1,000, $1,200 a day, it's sometimes hard to get your mind around it.
It is.
And I'm trying to help my clients get through money limitations while also getting myself through money limitations and fear of I'm sitting here right now. And I know that today we're probably going to spend $25,000 to $30,000 on ads across all of our clients. And I'm here thinking, okay, where is this person converting? What's that person converting? Okay, this person needs a boost. It's fear,
sure,
which causes you not to grow. That would be a really big one. But also secondly, for me and from a business perspective, is how do I grow a business without necessarily growing more clientele? It's making bigger asks. And as we've gotten more confident in what we're able to do marketing wise, we've done profit sharing and equity deals with clients.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me a quick version of how that works.
So we had a client come to us back in September through a referral who has a great consumer product in the equestrian world.
Okay.
Not the one that I was mentioning earlier.
I remember you talking
about this. This is somebody
else. Yep.
And she came and she really wanted to work with us. She said, I think I'm a little early, but I have a lot of inventory.
Okay.
And she said this, I went to an equestrian show, set up a booth, and I sold $30,000, something crazy. And I liked, and she's in her 60s. She's a little older, doesn't know the digital world. I'm like, this, I want to work with this woman. Like, I really, I feel something here. And I also know the market. So I presented our fees to her. She's like, I don't know. I just bought all this inventory. You know, this is a little, and that's not even including ad spend. I said, okay, I understand. And at the time I was feeling confident. I was, you know how you're just in those days feeling confident.
Well, you see little, something and you know you can help that person. Like you see it, they don't see it.
Yep.
But there's, so there's a different, like if it was a totally random business that you've never thought of, that's one thing. But you looked at this thing and said, I know that I can help them.
Exactly.
I got it. Yeah.
And you have that feeling in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, so we hung up the phone and I thought about it for a while. And I said, I have to be fearless for a moment. I need to do something that's out of my comfort zone. So I call her back and I said, hey, so-and-so, I have an idea for you. You might not like it, but I'll present it to you. What if we did a 15% revenue share agreement where we run ads, you pay us nothing, you pay for the cost of advertising. We generate $10,000, $2,500 in ad spend, for example. We take 15% of difference. So if you make $7,500, we make 15% on that. She's like, deal. She's like, I'm making money and you're making, that's what everyone says. Well, if I'm making money, I'm more than happy to pay you.
Correct.
So everyone says in that moment, whether they understand
but
or not.
You end up making more than the retainer.
Way more. And we're talking 3 months later. She says, David, I wish I would have just taken in that first deal. But she was saying that tongue in cheek. But on my end, I just can't make more and more and more and more because I'm not an owner in the business. She could ditch me at any point.
Sure.
I have to continue to grow with her.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, let's add on some email marketing for you. Hey, let's add on Google ads. Let's keep doing more because I'm incentivized by her.
Sure.
And also she's writing bigger and bigger checks. But what I made from that one client in a month would have been the equivalent of 3 to 4 clients. And you're not doing 3 to 4x more work. So if I can, me doing not being fearless, taking more deals like that.
So there's an, I don't even remember the guy's name. He's on YouTube and I see his stuff pops up in my feed and he's an Asian guy. I don't say that disrespectfully. I just know he's, you know, some sort of Asian descent. He's sharp. And he says the same thing. That's one of his sales, how he closes a sale.
Yep.
And they say, how much is your service? It's $5,000 a month. Well, I don't have $5,000. Great. here's what we'll do. I'll work for free, but all I'll do is I'll take 20% of whatever you bring in.
Yep.
How's that sound?
Yep.
And they're like, great. So if I bring in $100,000 this month, you're going to pay me 20 grand.
Yep.
Whoa. Well, I mean, you pick. I can, either one we can do. And so what they do is he's not saying work with me or not. He's saying pay me the five or pay me the 20%.
Yep.
Giving them two options.
Yep.
And it was, I've heard that before.
It works. And it's also better in a lot of cases for the business owner.
It's a proof of concept.
It is.
You got to prove to me. So like, here's the thing. You do it and you flop and you don't make any money. I really don't pay you a dime. It's kind of like a financial advisor.
Yep.
Give the money to the financial advisor. He only makes 1%. He is incentivized to grow.
Yep. And I looked at my own behavior when I was working with this client. I'm checking their ads on Sunday morning. I'm thinking about them in the shower because I'm thinking every time a sale comes in, I get that little sense of gratification.
That's right.
I said, my wife and I were in Italy.
Yeah.
And this is when we just started working with the client and I have notifications on my phone of when they get a sale. Yeah. That's how embedded I am in this business. And we, you know, you get a sale, $100. I say, okay, we probably spent $20 to generate that customer. We just made $6.
Sweet.
And I'm standing here in Italy.
Go get that coffee, babe.
Yeah. And I won't be afraid to say it made me work harder.
Sure.
For them.
No, I totally agree. Last question. What do you wish other people knew about you?
I wish, especially when I'm working with somebody for the first time, and you'll understand because we've been working together a long time, I really care about your business.
I agree with that.
A lot.
Yep. I agree with that.
And I care about businesses even that I'm not working with because I know how stinking hard it is to operate. And so when I'm sitting across a table from a business, I wish that people could see inside of my heart and how much I really do care.
Yeah.
And how honest. And if I'm sitting across the table from you and I don't think I can get you results, I will say it to your face.
Yeah.
And walk away from the deal. Because there's so many, for lack of a better word, shysters out there.
Yeah.
Who will just take any dime and nickel from any business owner who has a pulse, who's willing to write a check.
Sure.
It creates distrust.
Yeah.
Not just in marketing, but in everything. If people knew how much I really did care, and when your ads aren't performing or things aren't going right, it hurts me.
It hurts you, yeah.
More than just a money thing.
Right.
It just hurts my soul in a lot of ways. I wish I could portray that better.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. You've worked with us for 2.5 years, and I mean, we would not have continued to work with you for so long if you didn't continue to help us and get results, but also a sounding board. That's what I think too, is I love the fact that I can sit and call on a Tuesday at 3:00. I say, hey, you got 20 minutes. It's not like, I'm going to bill you an extra $1,000, whatever. It's just, it's a sounding board and it allows us to work together flawlessly. I love that. So if someone's looking for you, if the one is to hire you, where's the best place someone can find you?
So they go to nipsmedia.com.
Okay.
NIPPSmedia.com. There's a work with us button in the top right corner. Click that. You can book a call.
Okay.
You're booking a call directly with me.
Perfect. Join us. That's great.
Thank you.
David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.